Hey, Nerd Funnelers, we're back. This is Bob Shway. You're listening to Nerd Funnel, where we take all the nerd news of the world and funnel it into your more than willing ear holes. With me today is Ivan.
That's my hungover voice.
Ooh, nice. And Juan.
This is my still drunk voice.
And everybody's familiar with my sober voice because I'm lame and don't drink as much as I should. All right, we are back at it today. We are talking about lore and magic. We had an interesting discussion started up a little while ago about how we like to be dropped in into worlds where lore and magic already make sense, and we don't have to feel like we're out of place. So we started talking about how Star Wars, when we were dropping into Star Wars, and how, like, when you go into the Force in Episode 4, it was kind of like it was already mystical, but then in Episode 1 they came in and we put, like, all science it out, and it was just, you'd like it better when it's,
well, people love mystery in general. Mm-hmm. People don't like to have everything spelled out 100% for them, because there's something about the imagination that makes it more interesting when you get to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, that's why people get so steeped into lore to begin with. Like, it's like, they're just like, well, how did this happen? How did this happen? What, you know, what battle took place for this, you know, for the everything to be the way it is now?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, but the problem is that there's a fine line between giving the people wanting the answers that they want and then just completely, like, taking away, like, sweeping away the veil and realize, you know, the man behind the curtain type shit.
Yeah, I mean, you guys ever, like, actually seen how an actual magic trick works? It is overwhelmingly disappointing. It's like
pulleys.
I'm so dumb. I'm
mostly
just
pulleys.
Like, yeah, like, no
magnets.
Yeah.
Midgets.
Mice and little
whatever
wheels.
The case it be. It's like, oh man. Like, I almost wish I didn't know, because now it's just like
it's ruined.
It's so obviously stupidly simple. I'm obviously just so dumb.
That's three more midgets than I needed today.
But I feel like. Yeah, I feel like you gotta keep people blue-balled and not actually let them bust their nut on knowledge, because if you do, then they're just gonna, you know, pay us and leave.
But, like, at the same time, I said all of that shit, and I'm, like, already backpedaling, and I'm thinking, like, but I want them to, like, flesh out things. Mm-hmm. I always want to know, like, minutia. Like, Stephen Moffat of fucking Doctor Who was all like, you can't. He was, like, for example, they were talking about, like, before this last Christmas special came out, where we finally see the Singing Towers of Deryllium.
Mm-hmm.
And how we see off River Song.
Yeah.
Like, before that, like, Alex Kingston was probably not going to come back. And Stephen Moffat was just like, well, it happened. I already showed you. Just fill in the blank. But it's like, that isn't satisfying enough. So you have to be able to be, you have to give enough information.
Yeah, there's, you got to use, like, a light touch. Like, you have to, like, you know.
Not even a light touch. It can be just, you can slather it on thick.
Well, there's a difference between fleshed out and, like, saturated. Like, take, for instance, I have a friend of mine, and like, he does, like fan fiction, just write, like, backstories, and just loves this lore knowledge for, like, everything, for, like, Lord of the Rings and Warhammer and all this stuff. And at a certain point, I just don't care. Like, I just don't care anymore about, like, you know, 5,000 years ago, these space marines were doing what? And it's like, what's happening right now, like, about the characters I care about? Because if he starts getting too far away from the characters you care about, then do you even care about the lore at all?
To be fair, I am the asshole who fucking, like, trawls through fucking Wikipedia reading about how the spire of, or whatever the imperial symbol was once upon a is a corrupted symbol of an old monastic order, and it was supposed to represent the eighth spot. It's actually a Buddhist symbol, technically.
Well, let me qualify that. It has to be interesting. Maybe it's because it's fan fiction that it's, like, really,
oh,
just I don't care.
Your issue is
with
the source.
When he goes off, yeah. If it's canon, if it's
See,
verified,
just, that becomes, yeah, like, just more of an issue of you. You have a problem with your friend.
I guess so. He is. Yeah.
So at some point, you're basically just like, I know you're just straight up making shit up. Like, just because it makes sense to you doesn't mean it makes sense to the rest of us.
Yeah. But yeah, I do go back and, you know, Wikipedia or Star Trek back lore or Lord of the Rings.
Alpha. Yeah.
I don't do any of those things. I allow you the one time to sell me your story. And if you do a good enough job, I'll buy into it. Mm-hmm. But if you start getting into the minutiae of explaining things to me, and just like you, I just was like, I don't care, bro. Like, so you had me at fucking hello, and now you've like fucking talked me out of like not putting out. Like,
so here's where we here's where we differ as nerds. You like the succinct craft of telling a story, you know, effectively in the genre. Whereas we appreciate going overboard with like backstory stuff that may not even matter to. I mean, like you don't need to know where the Sith emblem comes from the Empire Sith comes from to appreciate watching Star Wars. No, right?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
But I mean, it's just to each their own as far as how the level at which you appreciate. I don't know.
No, that makes sense.
It's not like you appreciate any less.
Well, you guys were talking about like having a sense of satisfaction. Where for me, like my whole shtick is like, I like not being satisfied. I like being left with a certain, like, they just didn't give me all the information. I appreciate being given enough of what they wanted to tell me without having to have them divulge the entirety of the story or, like, specifics about characters. It's like, you show me what you want me to see. Mm-hmm. I bought into it. Anything beyond this is really, like, you might as well tell me another story.
Yeah. Well, okay, so this brings up a good point. You like, there's the whole creative concept of like the whole show don't tell thing. So do you appreciate, like, if someone's telling you a story, do you feel put off when they have to preamble the story with a whole bunch of lore?
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, if you're having to like do a backstory on the content of the story that you're currently telling me, why don't you just start with that part of the story to begin with? Like, it shouldn't divulge into like, well, in order for you to understand the concept of where we are currently with this story, you need to know the backstory. It's like, why don't you just tell me the backstory first? And then move from there.
Exactly.
I don't know. Sometimes,
even if it's like a, like, so even just like in talking to people, like, if your story is only like 5 minutes, that backstory is only 5 minutes, but then the actual like main like story is like 30 minutes, then I will be invested with that first 5 minutes and then follow along with the rest of it. But if you just come at me with the whole like story and then you want me to have the full understanding of everything else, it's like, why do I want to go back? Like, you've already given me more information. That's going to make it harder for me to like really appreciate like the beginnings or the origins of anything.
You've given more information that's relevant to what came before than what you've already kind of dictated is going to be the primary story.
So why doesn't midichlorians work? Why does not that? I mean, I think we're all in agreement that was dumb. Mm-hmm. But
well, you might have told me, like, hey, there's nanotechnology in your bloodstream. It's like, well, I guess. I mean, like, if you felt like it was that important to tell me. But like you guys said, like,
well, then again, how come having nanomachines in your bloodline works in Metal Gear Solid?
Well, I don't know. They should have told me that at the beginning.
Because Big Boss. Because Big Boss rules.
Just because. Because
Big Boss makes everything in that game worthwhile. Because Kojima. Okay, why don't midichlorians work? Well, I think you were trying to science the shit out of something that succeeded originally because it was connected with an audience on a mystical level, something more of something they had to kind of believe in or something that was more abstract, and you tried to like solidify it out of the fucking ether.
Yeah.
And then they just like, oh, well, now it's like testable and quantifiable and you scienced it and now it's not mystical anymore and we were sold on the mysticism. Whereas if they had that in Star Trek, it would have worked.
If Qui-Gon Jinn had basically said, I've never felt the presence of someone like this before, that I'd buy that. I'd buy the fuck out of that. Mm-hmm. But like, Freeze, like, let me do a blood test on you. That was a really bad thing. Yeah.
Okay, well,
you've got herpes.
Because
what is that?
I don't know, because that's how stupid it seems. Like, let me do a blood test. Let me just go and look for this one specific thing. It's like,
yeah, it puts the force on par with a venereal disease.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Well, okay. In that case, I have a bad case of the force.
You've got space AIDS.
I think it's also a case of backpedaling. Space AIDS. Oh man. You remember to use those space condoms,
even in the context of what we're talking about. Like, you see how quickly it devolved into like like almost a caricature of what they were trying to tell us. Like, it's like it's at this point it's just a joke. Like, I mean, Space Aids,
yeah.
But it's like, but they shouldn't have given me the opportunity to get to that point where I was like, you know, comparison
that you could make the joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, then you could be like, if it was like more mystical, you'd be like, I feel the spirit of Jesus on my midnight side every night.
No, but like, I feel like honestly, the prequels were George Lucas just spiting his fans.
Well, I think he tried to commodify. He tried to make it a kiddie thing, and it's like, well, the kids are not going to. So remember the definition of the Force we were sold on, right? It's, remember Yoda's like, it's a force that's, or Ben's Empire. Like, it's a force that surrounds us, penetrates, it binds the galaxy together.
Yeah.
And then Yoda's like, life creates it, right? So it's like already something that's not scientific, right? Mm-hmm. So that's by definition, that's the idea we had. It's mystical. It's a connection. It's spiritual. It's a mental connection. It's a...
And if it is quantifiable, it's not one that we can currently perceive.
Yeah. It was like some sort of unperceivable mental connection that strengthened your body. And then all of a sudden, we inverted it. And it's like, oh, it's a bodily thing that somehow gives you these powers. And I think that inversion... And it also made it easy for kids to understand so he could sell toys.
Because if that was true, like, you know what? At that point, I'm like, dude, I'm gonna get a blood transfusion. I want some of your blood.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah, because then why can't you just engineer, like, force users?
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's such bullshit. And, like, and I don't like the idea of, you know, shortchanging children that they can't understand deep concepts. Because that's simply not true.
No.
Fucking kids are smart, smart, smart. And they understand really deep concepts if you give them the chance and the respect to allow them that space to fucking understand.
You're totally correct. And because they don't have the words to explain it, it doesn't mean they can't intuit it and they don't sense it. They know.
Right.
They can't explain it back to you.
In a way, I would argue they understand it better than most adults.
Perfect. Yeah, they have a very clear perception of the world that gets muddied as you get older.
Exactly.
And I think that also comes from when you start to muddy things when you move them from concept to words. And once kids start learning how to form words and learn how to write and get more complicated, it just muddies things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What about the lore, like, for like Lord of the Rings? Like, so we've all seen Lord of the Rings. Have you read any Lord of the Rings, right?
So here's the thing.
Oh, like, here goes Ivan. I'm checked out now.
I have two people, like... I wouldn't say near and dear to my heart, but just very close to my social groups that are all about the backstories. And like, one of them has this like massive book where it goes into like full detail about like how every single like different character guy was created. Mm-hmm. Like it's
called the Silmarillion.
It's intense. It's intense.
Yeah.
And like, I was interested for a good hot minute, and then it was like, dude, I'm not going to remember all this shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no way
it's just too much.
And it's like, and at that point, it's at that point where I'm like, just tell me your story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell me what you want to tell me. Like, I'll believe you if you do a good enough job of telling me, hey, this is just what I want you to focus on. But then when they get to that point where it's just like, it's just so much information. Like, yeah. I just can't.
All right. So I'm going to ask you guys some questions. So you guys have seen the old Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies. You've seen...
I've seen a Hobbit movie.
A Hobbit movie? And
I've seen no Hobbit movie.
Okay.
I've seen Lord of the Rings, though.
Okay. So, here's my argument. And from what we were talking, I think that it might be... You might agree, you might disagree. So, okay. So, Lord of the Rings, the original trilogy, worked because it didn't... I mean, it was true to the books, but... It when they were doing the editing and scripting, they're like, okay, anything that doesn't have to do... Because there's so much there... Anything that doesn't have to do with the ring is out. So, like, Tom Bombadil, the lineages of the elves, all that stuff that is interesting to some people, including myself, but not interesting to others. Like, anything that's not connected to the journey of the ring from...
You mean including the fucking Aragorn love story?
Yeah. Yeah, well... Okay.
I didn't even know that character was, like, 100 years old.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, dude, because he looked like he was in his 30s, man.
That's, yeah. Well, I see, again, I could go into the lore.
You're not going to look that good when you're...
I could go into the lore to explain why it's the case, but you don't...
I'm drinking. Hopefully, I will look this good in my eyes forever.
gotta keep...
It's the eternal beer goggles of youth.
That's right.
The only way to keep that liver young is to keep it working.
Gotta put through its paces. Gotta exercise it.
But yeah, so
okay, so the reason that it worked is because they connected everything to the ring, and everything else is out. They streamlined it, made it accessible to people, and then it was an enjoyable film for the
most part. Even though I already tore that theory to shambles, but continue.
Well, I mean, okay, but like all the long lineages and everything else, right? But whereas with the when they made the Hobbit movies, the Hobbit is a very short, simple book. It was written for kids by Tolkien for his children about the Hobbit and the dwarves, and they go on the journey and they blah, blah, blah. But because they had so much success with these big budget, you know, movies of more complicated material, they took a bunch of stuff from the Silmarillion, all this backstory and lore, and jammed it in there to make three films out of one tiny book, and those sucked.
Yeah, and it goes to everything that I've just been saying.
Yeah.
Like they did, like I said, like I seen the one Hobbit movie, and like from that one, it's like, I think I've seen all of it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the rest of them are, but I feel like I've already seen them.
You basically have, because it's only one story, and they kind of crammed it full of stuff, this backstory, which by itself is, I mean, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, is fascinating, but just doesn't really work with shoving into a simple story. You try to overcomplicate it.
You know, you guys bringing this up brought me to a really interesting question. When do you think movies... one, started adopting sequels, and I would argue that at the very same time, sequels started to die.
Okay, wait. So when movies started having sequels?
Well, I'm sorry. When movie studios started pushing movie franchises.
Yeah. Because it has been something.
After Spider-Man.
Well, I would argue...
Like really gearing it up after Spider-Man 2000.
I would argue like after right. Lord of the Rings.
Really? Okay.
Because I feel like... Spider-Man was high grossing. Okay, obviously there was going to be a sequel coming.
Yeah.
But like I feel like this idea of like creating a universe, like I think we have Lord of the Rings to blame for Marvel Cinematic Universe, I feel like.
Okay. Well, really? Cuz I think we have Iron Man to thank for Marvel Cinematic Universe. Because that was really the one that started it off.
You know, I mean, because it showed that, you know, you're going to have three parts, for okay. sure. Okay? And we're going to shoot over this time, build all this hype.
Oh,
and, like, this model of, like, sequels are coming, and we're all building to this thing.
And you can't stop it.
Yeah, and you cannot
stop it. So you're talking about when they started going in, making the first film with the franchise in mind that the two and three are already right. going.
What was the first film where they had the little teasers at the end of the film? Right there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Where everybody fucking leaves except for like the
stingers.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
No, go home. It's over.
Oh, shit. It is.
Yeah.
Right. It is.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's the first, though.
No. There may have been the first with the intention of leading something else.
Of having like additional things. Like, we're going to give you a teaser into the next film.
Well, I mean, if we really want to get granular, I would argue it's like James Bond. Because at the end it says James Bond will return in.
Yeah, because that's the OG like long-running franchise.
That would be it. No, I still feel like it's Lord of the Rings. Because like James Bond was just like, oh, well, every couple of years there's a James Bond flick. But
yeah,
it was never like...
Well, it was never encapsulated into like, oh, this is going to be the trilogy, and it's going to feed right. off into this trilogy. Like,
and that's why it's fucking dying.
And
now.
They're episodic. It wasn't like one story is going to continue on and lead into the next, right. like this overarching thing. I mean, you know, James Bond is like, you know, I'm going to be James Bond for this episode of James Bond movie, and then I'm going to be James Bond and then the next episode. It wasn't like too much carryover.
Talking about lore, then.
What like, about Revolutions? Matrix, because they had Matrix, right? And uh-huh. then they didn't plan on making a trilogy. And then they decided, oh, and it did really well.
Off not doing the last one?
Exactly.
They might have been better off.
But then they did two and three together, and that was intentional. Like, they only released them 6 months apart.
And then it was.
And there was the lead up. There was a stinger strong. At the end where Bane, or, you know, like, Smith goes into Bane's body and they, like,
you know,
definite cliffhanger.
Even
but it just goes, like, to be continued, yeah. like a fucking tards.
Even The Matrix, I think, has that certain level of mysticism
yeah.
where they, even though it's a very, like, technical, like, kind of a universe they create for you for the film.
Yeah.
They still give you a lot of things, like they don't go into full details to why things just happen the way they are happening.
Well, that's why.
And then they fucking ruined it.
That's why The Matrix works. And then Revolutions, the architect fucking destroyed that movie because he explained everything. And it's
I kind of like that part.
I guess it was one. It's like one of those things that makes you feel smart when you listen to it.
Fucking Colonel Sanders laying down his philosophy talk. Okay, what about?
I wanted him to have a southern draw.
I smart.
Like when he's just like,
why do you sound like Colonel Sanders?
Yeah, honestly.
Okay,
the idea it's like, of the one has always been around.
Yeah.
Especially with 11 secret herbs and spices.
Yeah, I wanted him to hold up. Remember at the end, he's like, there are two doors. I want him to say, you have two choices. Original recipe or spicy. As you adequately put it, the problem is choice. And then he goes towards the spicy. He's like, you won't be able to save yourself.
Don't worry. And you still get honey for both.
And then he says, Neo says, if I were you, I'd hope we don't meet again. And he's like, if you eat that shit, we won't. Oh my God. What about fucking Harry Potter?
Because,
I mean, that was six books. So seven movies.
Right? I can tell you that I've probably seen the total of maybe one of those films. I've seen just enough clips of those to maybe combine it to one. Like, I was never a Harry Potter, like, anything.
Me neither,
like,
too much.
This is just...
Talk about lore.
This is just terrible.
That's actually... You bring up a good point, because we talked briefly about this, about Titanfall. Like, any good sci-fi fantasy is... It's all about rules and world... Well, the world building is accomplished through establishing rules. And J.K. Rowling did an excellent job of being able to explain the rules of her world in a way that was organic and just, like, it never felt forced.
That's why Lucas, the midichlorians fucked up, because it broke the rules he set by the way we understood.
Right. And it's forced. And yeah. Like, basically shoving it down your throat.
Yeah, he forced the force on us.
There's no organic journey for the main protagonist to learn the rules of the world.
You called it.
But
J.K. Rowling did a very good job with the world building. It was very structured. More overt, like more Lord of the Rings, I think the magic in that was more subtle, but the rules were there, I think.
Yeah.
And I like the subtlety of Lord of the Rings. That's why I don't like Harry Potter as much, because the rules are more like overt and just kind of like out there. It's like magic can do this and that, and you can't do this, you can't do that, and blah, blah, blah. And I think maybe that made me feel claustrophobic in the story, or kind of constrained. Mm. I don't know. But as far as outlawing a franchise, I mean, come on. It's like once one hit, I mean, they were going to be like, oh, we're doing six of these at least.
I think I thought they were just like, they already like, we're going.
Most of which I saw in Spanish, because they were in Spanish class, and I just wasn't really paying attention because I never watched them. Fun. I never sat down to watch a Harry Potter movie.
It's actually Spain.
It was always kind of on.
I would say that the Marvel movies do a good job of that, though. They do see, I mean, the good ones anyways, like, they do set like a structure for you, and they don't deviate from those, where, like, you know, like, your mind is just running off into whatever, and they don't go into full, like, detailed explanation of just how this is exactly how it happens. It's like they give you just enough for you to still be entertained and just like, yeah, like, I, it's feasible from the rules that you said, like, it seems feasible enough. And like, now they're starting to incorporate a lot of these movies together, or tying them slightly in there. Mm-hmm. And even now, like, even though, like, a lot of the characters or some of these movies aren't necessarily, the characters aren't engaging with each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, like, I still believe it, and I still want to see more. And you guys seen Doctor Strange?
Sorry, Juan.
I saw Doctor Strange.
I didn't.
Oh man, I wish you could just be here to see that, Nerd Funnelers.
But at the end of thing too, right? Like, he's doing the whole thing with Thor, and it's like, yeah, I can see that. Like, I can see these characters having an interaction thanks to the way that you've created this universe for
me. Well, they're also, I mean, case in point, they're also the more legendary, lore filled, mystical people. I mean, like, it makes sense for them to be interacting, right? Because they both kind of, even fucking Thor in one of the movies says, like, when he brings Natalie Portman to Asgard, and she's like, "Oh, it seems like magic," and he's like, "Oh, well, you know, it's just, it's just a level of technology that you have not achieved yet," and blah blah blah. And
we have
dark matter technology and blah blah blah.
That's what I'm saying. Believe it.
Do you have
maybe midichlorians could be a thing in the universe. Yeah. I might be able to concede that, but like, well, keep the mysticism around it, because like those things, I feel like, should be, or whatever your mechanism should be, if you're doing something mystical like that, should be beyond most characters' understanding.
Exactly.
And like, if you really want to do it, you have to develop a character that's super like, really like, has a wider perspective than everyone else. Mm-hmm. So that it has more impact.
Yeah.
Like for Qui-Gon Jinn to be like, "Oh, well, you know, you got AIDS."
Space AIDS.
"Well, we're going to take you back to our place."
Well, and the cool thing that Marvel did is kept the characters that dealt with the more like magical, high powered shit. They kept those characters talking in ways that kept us aloof from that. So, case in point, like, you know, when Tony Stark and fucking Hulk, Bruce Banner, like, get together on the helicarrier, and they're all like, "Oh, we're gonna, you know, use this tech, we're gonna, you know, backtrack the gamma signal, blah, blah," and they get all, like, techno with it. That makes sense for them to talk that way, right? And then it's like, it doesn't matter what they're saying. I mean, it's kind of cool to try to follow it, like, because it is related to some science stuff. It's like science fiction, right?
Yep.
But then, Another time is when, like, remember when in Avengers when Loki is attacking Earth, the first Avengers?
Yeah.
And he's got all that horde of army, and then Thor shows up. And remember he broke the Bifrost, right? That little connector, the rainbow bridge?
Yeah.
Remember? So he couldn't go back. And so then Loki says, how much dark matter did the High Father have to conjure to send you here? And that's it. That's the only line we get about how Thor got here with the Bifrost, or without the Bifrost.
That's an interesting story that didn't get told.
Yeah, but that's enough, because like, oh, dark matter, they can use that shit because they're on another level of tech, but it's just, you know, magic, got it.
I don't believe that. I think that was terrible.
Because, really? Like,
I'm more on your boat, Bob. Because I caught that part of the story too, and I was like, it was just enough for me to like not question.
Yeah.
No, because here's where I have a problem with that, because they make a big deal about, "I will never be able to visit you again," and then he fucking shows up. He's like, "No, we Deus Ex that shit."
Yeah, but he says there was a huge amount of process that had to, like,
yeah, we have maybe to go he through. Didn't know High Father could use dark matter to send him at that time.
Well, I mean, it's something that you can address in later on, but
like, yeah,
it doesn't make sense though, because like I always use this stupid fucking argument from a storytelling standpoint. Like, that's the equivalent of, like, fucking... Oh, God, I can't even do it right now. I'm too hungover. it's like jumping the shark story-wise.
Drunken difficulties. Please stand by.
Yeah. Just, like, it's fucking... It's a throwaway line.
Was there anything that could have satisfied you in that moment? What would have worked?
Just being like, you need to go. But you need to go back to Earth, get your brother or whatever. But I can't. How can I? But wait, we found a way.
Okay. All right. That would... Okay. A little bit more fleshed out for you,
like,
would have worked.
Even if we just left it at that. Oh, what? 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 But it's just like... For it to feel so cheap, it's like, oh yeah, no, we found a way. No problem. I'm just not going to go visit my girl now, even though I'm back on Earth.
So you wanted
to...
You wanted to be a little less explained and more and shown, like, oh, there's a way, and then have them kind of leave the story of that way coming to fruition,
like,
behind.
Throwaway lines can be used well,
mm-hmm.
and I can't think of any examples right now because they're
probably hashtag drunk and hungover.
Yeah, hashtag tasty.
Hashtag tasty.
We haven't said that one in a long
no,
time.
No, it's been a while.
We have your brother to thank for that.
Yeah, he
ain't been around, huh?
What's that?
He ain't been around in a long time.
No, he ain't been around. We haven't heard from Jorge in a while. But yeah,
if they had shown me something, I feel like it would have been better for that instance. Unless they had some really good line of dialogue that just, you know, let it go.
But then you start getting into like the dialogue, and then you have to explain like what you're explaining, and then it just turns into a fucking clusterfuck of like, why did you even like start explaining in the first place? Just like you said, it's just a throwaway line. It's just like, look, it just like it happened. It wasn't easy. And then like it moves on with the rest of the story. And then like it wasn't like, hey, let me bring my fucking homies from the other place. Let's fucking get my dad out here. It was just like, no, like it was extremely hard to just get me out here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good enough explanation within the context of the story where I was like, yes, I will buy into it. Like was it ideal? No, but it was good enough where I didn't have to question anything else.
You want to bring a great point. Explaining the explanation, that's a huge killer of any story in books, movies, you know, TV, what have you. Like when you have to explain the explanation, and you know, actually I was just thinking, a lot of movies that fall into that, and video games too, that fall into that, are video game movies and like overcomplicated like RPGs where like you can't follow because they have to keep explaining the backstory to the explanation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, did you see Warcraft, World of Warcraft, the new movie that came out?
No.
Because that world is so entrenched in lore. I mean, it's been going on forever. And you know, they had a bunch of people coming to it that had never seen or played or never played the game before. Then they kind of had to keep explaining explanations, and it totally fucking killed it. It was terrible. I mean,
yeah, I can see that happening. And yeah. I think that you see that with like shitty films.
Yeah.
You see that with shitty games and shitty stories. Like once they start having to explain their excuses for things that are happening, it's at that point that like I immediately just like tone out. Like there's like, it doesn't matter because obviously you don't even buy the story you're telling me. Like, how am I supposed to buy into something that you don't even fully understand?
Yeah. I was in, when I was at UCSD, I took a screenwriting class. And one of the rules that my teacher had kind of like gave us when he's like, when you're doing a screenplay or writing a screenplay or what have you, he's like, if you have to take more than 5 pages to explain because that's a page is about a minute of time on screen. So if you do take more than 5 minutes in any part of the movie to have to explain, like 15 or 20 minutes that came before, you failed. She's like, you failed. Just stop writing. Go back. Fix what you were showing before so that it shows more, so you have to explain as much. Because the less you have to explain, then the less time you have to take time out of the progress of the film, of the play, of the game, whatever, to explain what came before or to clarify it. Like, you're taking them out of the world.
I think that's what The Hobbit was for me, too. And I think that's why when you watch the one films, it's like they just kept on doing that. And it's like,
yeah, it was just,
I don't need to follow along because obviously you don't know where you're taking.
Yeah, me. You don't know where you're going. Why the hell should I?
I want to go into your van, man.
Don't take me in the van, man. It's dark.
I don't see any ice cream stickers on it.
There's no ice cream in here. Wait a minute. Yeah, because you're leading them through with the ice cream, and if you're just distracting them too much, you're not gonna get. You don't feel like you get that ice cream anymore. Where my ice cream, yo? The
if you ever get tried to get picked up by a guy in a van and he says, I got some candy, first thing you ask is, what kind?
what about, like, so we've been talking about like stories, and
usually I'm like, you had me at candy.
Anything for candy. Usually like books and movies and TV, like we've been talking about books, movies and TV right now that like they have previous stories. So like you go see a Batman movie, you're already kind of familiar with Batman. You go see Lord of the Rings, you're probably already a little familiar with Lord of the Rings. But like what about people that like do movies and, you know, books that are, or comics that are brand new properties? Like remember the few years ago, the Wachowski brothers did Jupiter Ascending when they create their own worlds, or Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Or
I like Pacific Rim.
Yeah. So that really didn't need to. I mean,
I like Pacific Rim Jobs.
You really? No, I don't. I gotta disagree with you there. I like Atlantic Rim Jobs. they're a little colder.
Well, to be fair, the Pacific is a lot colder.
A lot colder. Oh, that's true, huh? Well, I mean, can we all agree that the Caribbean Rim Jobs the best?
I feel like this joke is dead in the water.
Oh. Wah, wah, wah. No, Pacific Rim did a good idea of taking, like, you know, a backstory that was. I mean, it spent like 2 or 3 minutes in the beginning, and then we got like it showed us. It didn't show us like it showed us the old battle with his brother, remember, and the battle failed. So it kind of explained a little bit, and then it went into like the old battle, and then you kind of saw like how things fell apart for the whole world based on that battle. And then all of a sudden he's where he's got to be, right? You know, and it just starts. Whereas I think Jupiter Ascending had a lot of explanation, especially when
it was a lot.
When Sean Bean showed up and he was like explaining everything to Mila Kunis, and it's like, hurry up and die already, Sean Bean.
And also, I mean, like, both those actors for the roles they played were just not good.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, the movie itself was just not good, but they made it worse.
Yeah, there is a new another one, Fifth Element. Fifth Element was great.
Fifth Element. I love Fifth Element, actually.
Luc Besson, the guy who did Fifth Element, is making a new film coming out next year that's supposed to be, like, even better. It's going to be the next Fifth Element.
That's awesome. I think probably, I think I've seen Fifth Element maybe, like, anywhere from 12 to 15 times.
Yeah, seriously.
Every time that it comes on TV, it's like, well, whatever I'm doing, I'm not doing anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit here through these fucking commercials.
And there was honestly, I mean, we've both seen it a lot. Honestly, I think there was a good amount of exposition there, like people explaining things, but you didn't feel it that way because it was so well paced with how things were shown. So, like, remember in the beginning, they showed the aliens landing and they had the key and they locked it up and they didn't really explain. I mean, there was a little bit of the frantic priest and he's like, well, I get a sense from the action of what the lore is. So the lore was communicated through the action, wasn't told to you. I like that.
It was good, and it does a good enough job of not giving you so much information about the aliens that came down and gave them all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was just entertaining enough. Like going into what we're talking about, like good movies that have lore and mysticism keep you just guessing and wanting just a little bit more.
Yeah.
But they never actually really give it to you. They just give you a sense of like, we gave you a little bit more information, but it's not going to be applied to any specific one thing or an explanation of why we gave you the last thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's significant enough to make you feel satisfied about what you knew before, but it opens so many more doors.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you ever see Blade Runner?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that was a good one that had like a lot of times like you go into films and books and in the setting, the way they describe a setting really kind of confers like without explaining what exactly happened, just the way things are and the way things look or the way things are described in a book convey enough of a story and a sense of lore that you really don't need to go in to explain it.
So actually doing visual storytelling?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I know you're a huge proponent of that.
I am a huge proponent of that. It's a dying art, I almost feel like, in today's cinema.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the opening thing from Blade Runner of like, you know, flying through LA and it's like dark and cloudy and there's big corporate buildings and you're flying through and it's just, you know, it has the date and the place mm-hmm. and you see, you know, the car flying through and all of a sudden it takes the time to kind of, it takes that long, slow, you know, moving.
Oh, yeah.
And you see, you know, it's beautiful cinematography, but as you're moving through that and getting visually stimulated, you're creating a story in your head about what happened to LA. Why is it like this? So it's like the corporations must have won out. There must be, you know, the things are dark. We must have ruined the environment. Like you look at all the people on the streets and it's like, well, things obviously are not going good for most people. Like you don't have to, you know, do like the black screen and be like, the year is LA 2070. The corporations have taken over and blah, 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 blah. Or no one, you have to arrive at a character who has to explain all that. You just get that from the crawl.
I'm going to go home and watch Blade Runner.
Yeah, right. Or like, I mean, even in
I used to hate that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Don't worry, blasphemy.
I hated you too. It told me so.
Or even
such is my life.
Or even like Star Wars, first one, like, you know, the blockade runner passing and then you get the big Star Destroyer passing over and it's like, okay, well, we know exactly what the game is right now. Like, little ship, probably a good guy, running the big phallic, you know, triangle coming after them with their laser semen.
Pew, pew.
Exactly.
I don't think I ever hated Star Wars.
That's okay. It liked you.
It still hated you back for a little while. Yeah. It told me that. It loves you now, though.
I used to spend, like, literally every day during one summer watching Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
And I ate Rice Krispies every day. And that's why Star Wars tastes like
Rice Krispies.
Rice Krispies.
Isn't that weird how you attach stuff like that?
Yeah. Like I always thought that's what he was eating in A New Hope when mm-hmm. he was pouring the blue milk.
Oh, really? Rice Krispies?
Yeah.
I wore tapes through all those, or wore holes through those VHS tapes of the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I think most, mine was Pop-Tarts. I think Pop-Tarts, Star Wars tastes like Pop-Tarts to me. When I was really? A kid, I was eating a lot of Pop-Tarts.
What does Star Wars taste like to you?
Sadness.
Oh, sadness.
It wasn't a particularly good time.
Oh.
And, the tears and, of and a gypsy
the VHS
woman?
Wasn't even ours.
Star Wars tastes like theft. Oh, man. All right. Well, nerd funnelers, let us know what you think about magic lore, how you like to be visually told stories. Let us know your thoughts.
Or be just told stories.
Yeah, told stories. Yeah. And let us know on facebook.com/nerdfunnel, youtube.com/nerdfunnel, our website, www.nerdfunnel.com. You can also tell us a story in 140 characters or less at Twitter at NerdFunnel. So until next time, you've been NerdFunneled.
Tell more stories. Right.